scripture this morning comes from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work.
Life is good. Yes, it is. We are all happy to be here.
Amen.
And I want to just let us all know we are blessed today. Glad you could be here this morning. We are here to worship our God in spirit and in truth. And if you can't be happy about that, then you can't be happy about anything, you know? But if you know God is good, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know that we can be better in Christ Jesus, say amen.
Amen.
And if you know that we can find fulfillment in the Word alone, say amen.
Amen.
Yes, God is definitely good. And that's exactly what I want to talk about this morning, is finding fulfillment in the Word of God. There are so many different trinkets in life that we allow to captivate us and take our time. Sometimes it takes our moments of days, takes our hours, minutes, days, weeks, months, and sometimes even years. We get stuck on these addictions and different things in life that take our time from the only thing that truly that matters in this life. And the Word of God is so amazing and so precious in so many different ways. We can't even begin to comprehend half or a quarter of them. But if you go to 2 Timothy with me real quick, 2 Timothy really talks about these things. And just think about, I want us to think about the finances, your lust, the trinkets, the things that are in your life, the activities that we hold on and hold so dear in our lives. Think about the perspectives or the views we hold in this life that we hold on, that we try to build upon. Think about the name we try to build for ourselves in this life and the things we try to attain and obtain. It's like, knowing that nothing lasts forever, we strive so hard at keeping it and gathering it for ourselves and for our family members and different things like that. And it affects our lives in different ways. We also strive after things that make us younger, different products, trying to extend life. And we weren't even, this wasn't meant to be forever. The time here on earth definitely wasn't meant to be forever. So I want us to be thinking about what fulfills you. What fulfills you in this life? What fulfills you? Is it your good looks? Is it some of you are like, no, it's not. But is it your looks? Is it your money? Is it your job? Is it your children? All the things the time you put into your children? What is it? What fulfills you? What makes you happy? Is it your occupation? What is it? Is it your vanity? Is it your decent acts of worship? Thinking, you know, these acts that I do for God, He's going to recognize them, and that's what's going to get me. What is it that fulfills you? Your good works? What is it? And I want us to be thinking about that, what it is. I want us to consider allowing the Word alone. Just consider with me, allowing the Word to fulfill you for everything, the Word alone, because it's so good. It's rich of so many different nuggets of truth and wisdom. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction, for training for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So if you want to be righteous in the sight of God, He says, I've given it to you. You got it. But I want us to also look at different things. So why, Quentin? That's the question this morning. Why should we consider, what myself as well, why should I consider allowing the Word to fulfill me, allowing God's Word to fulfill me in that alone? Why? And the first one is the insight it gives to in God's mind. I think the mindset that you can get inside God's mind, you can see what he wants, you see what he accepts and expects from us. Go to Psalm chapter 147. Okay, we're about to get in, locked and loaded. Who said, let's go, let's do it? It's like, I'm gonna give you something about me. Like, my intros are terrible, but it's like, I want to get to the word. Like, intro's super short, forget the intro, let's just jump to the word. Who cares what they taught you in preaching school? You got to have an intro, a good conclusion. Forget all that. Let's jump in the Word and let's just get into it. So why should we be fulfilled? Why should God's Word fulfill us? This is why. Because it allows us in His mind. It allows us to know what He wants, what He expects from us. And in Psalm 147, I'm about to get to the verse. Psalm 147, verse 5, it reads this. It says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in his strength. His understanding is infinite. The Lord supports the afflicted, those who are down. He brings down the wicked to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises to our God on the lair, and who covers the heavens with clouds, provides rain for the earth, who makes grass grow on the mountains. He gives to the beasts of the field and to the young ravens which cry. He does not delight in the strength of horses. He does not take pleasure in the legs of man. The Lord favors those who fear him, respect him, and understand the precepts and the concepts that he's trying to preach and teach us through his word. Those who wait for his loving kindness. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise God of Zion." So what does he want? God doesn't delight in our strength and in our wonderful wisdom that we think we have. But what he does love and cherish about us is an obedient heart, and one that only understands that we are weak in ourselves but strong in him. So that's what the mindset of God. He says he opposes the prideful, but he's refreshment to those who are afflicted. So it's like, let's get inside the mind of God, and that's why we should be fulfilled by the word, knowing what it can give us, the wisdom, the understanding, the heart of service, everything. And we are going to be afflicted, and guess who's going to be there to bring us back up, he says. And that's the mindset of God, and I think that's beautiful. Also go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This is all the mindset of God, the insight to God's mind. Like, who doesn't want insight to God's mind? Like, that's pretty sweet that he allows us to even be there. Sometimes as humans, when we have something that's good and we know it's pretty sweet and amazing, we like to keep it for ourselves. Heisman Trophy people, you know what I'm saying? We don't want people to get inside. But with God, he's allowing us inside his mindset. He's allowing us there. And then, I'm over here talking. Didn't get to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, "So as those who have been chosen of God..." So this is the insight of God's mind. He chose us. That's something first to realize. He chose us. That's beautiful that he chose us. So he chose us. Of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also should do it. Forgive others. So what is this mindset? So why should we be fulfilled by the word of God? Because it gives us insight to God's mind. It allows us to see his power, the mindset of his gentleness, his patience, his love, his sacrifice, his gentle plan, the truth, his forgiveness, his protection. Like, whoa, that's amazing. And thank you, God, for giving me insight to your mind so I know what we're working with. I know who's protecting me. I know who's providing for me. And I know who's going to help me when I'm afflicted. Amen. That all comes from God. Thanks be to God. And that's why we should be fulfilled and encouraged by the word. Say what? Amen. God is good. Like, God is good. God is good. Look at all those qualities, man, that he has in verse 12. Kindness, humility, gentleness. He wants us to be like him. Actually, you don't have to go there, but in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, he says, let us make man in our image. So he made man in our image, in his likeness. What does that look like? Or if it is even a look, it's not even a look, it's a character. It's character. So through the word, the way we know God is through the word. So if we know God wants us to be like him through the word, And he's given us that character inside. I mean, he's disclosing everything. Here's what you need to have: compassion, love, kindness, humility, patience, a forgiving heart. Let's rock. Let's go. You know what I mean? Verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Oh, snap. Okay, I'm not like a 12 right now. Like, say what? That's beautiful, right? So if we want our congregation to be more unified, then we have to increase in love and go deeper in love. Prerequisite. We got to go deeper in love. I got to go deeper in love. Man. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Sometimes we forget that he says, be thankful. Verse 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you in all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do, do in word and deed. Do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Man. Stay with me. So why should we allow the word to fulfill us? Because it gives us insight to God's mind. But not only does it give us insight to God's mind, but it also teaches us so much. It educates us in so many different ways. It tells us the origin of where we. It tells us the origin. Where it tells us where we come from. It tells us who we are, and it tells us where we need to be with God. What other book tells you that? What other book gives you the origin of and how man was created? Other than like Darwinism, other than that. What other book gives you where you come from, where you are going, and where you're supposed to be with God, and how you can be in the eternal realm and have peace and rest? What other book on earth? I'm telling you, the scriptures give it to you. The scriptures have something to offer. And that's why we should be fulfilled by the word. That's why. Because it educates us. It definitely educates us. Go to Philippians. Go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. All I can think of is Kurt. Because all I can think of is Kurt. Man. Philippians. My wife says that too. You always give us the book, but you don't ever give us the verse. I'm like, we fought about that one time, and it's true. I don't do it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. He says, or we're not going to get there yet, but I want us to be thinking about why, how, and how it educates us in different ways. Because when we look at the word, it's going to educate us. It tells us our origin. It tells us where we're from. It tells us how we were created. And it tells us where we're supposed to be with God. And one of the things that's beautiful in how it educates us is this right here. And follow me here. The way it educates us is, like I said, it tells us where we're from and how and where we're going and where we're supposed to be with God. And when we don't accept that and we don't allow the word to fulfill us, then we're denying a part of who we are. Because the word, when it reveals God, it tells us who we are, our position, and how we're supposed to be in relation with God and the characteristics we're supposed to have. And when we don't allow that to fulfill us and understand that and grow deeper in the knowledge and in the mind of God and who we are, then that's denying a part of who you are. So why would we not want to go deeper with God? Why would we not want to get more education and understanding of where we come from and where we're going? It might make life a whole lot easier if we know what we're supposed to be doing. And the only way we know as spiritual beings is what the word gives us. Is what the word gives us. Without the word, we don't know where we come from. We don't know where we're going, and we don't know our position in our relationship and how it should be with God. So I encourage us to get deeper and allow that word to fulfill you, because when it fulfills you, you will understand a whole lot more of who and what you're supposed to be in this life so that we can make it to that eternal realm. So don't deny a part of who you are. Don't deny and think less of who you are, but gain that wisdom and that confidence, that understanding, and that knowledge through what the word can give you. It's beautiful. It's king. It's the first and it's the last. It's lovely, precious. Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, it says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, doing nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but humility of mind regarding one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also is in Christ. Well, what was in Christ? That attitude of regarding others more important than self. Simple, right? Verse 6 of chapter 2. Although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God. That's a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. So again, he wants us to be somewhere in relation with him. If God can come down from heaven in the form of Jesus, the greatest place, or that can be with God. I mean, the greatest you can be. He gives that up to come down with mere men? Anything in your life that you give up can't be that great. So why can't we let go of some of the trinkets that captivate our lives? Let some of those things go so that we can hold on closer and more dear to God in knowledge and understanding and wisdom. Let that word teach us. Let that word fulfill you. From the inside out. But then he goes on and says, you have to empty yourself first. Oof, oh boy. We got to empty ourselves first. We got a lot of stuff up in this body, don't we? Amen? Uh-oh, some of y'all are like, oh man, I'm having a hard time being with God right now. Why is it hard for Quentin to be with God? It's because I'm full of myself. Amen? Amen that. I'm not full of myself like that.
I was waiting for somebody to say, hey, man, y'all wrong for that.
But at times, Quentin gets full of himself. And when Quentin gets full of himself, we have to remember, we got to empty ourselves. I have to empty myself. We have to empty ourselves. Being made in the likeness of a bondservant so that I can serve. Don't take that too far, like Quentin's going to be my servant. Chill now. But we are to be obedient until death. And obedient, look at this, obedient plus obedient until death with Christ means fellowship with the Father. That's fellowship. That's beautiful. And that's what we all want to be, in that fellowship with the Father. But we have to allow the Word to fulfill us first before we can ever get in the mind of God, before we can ever grow with God, before we can ever understand who we truly are. Because if we don't understand who we truly are in Christ, if we don't take the initiative to understand who we are in Christ, then Satan will always know us better than we know ourselves. And he only seeks to destroy and devour. Devour and destroy. But then look at verse 9. For this reason also God highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name which is above every name. I will never have the name which is above every name, but I can be inside the name above every name, which is in Christ Jesus. So if we want to be exalted, everybody has a little bit of pride and ego in them, amen? Now y'all get quiet. When it's about me, everybody's like, yeah, ego. When it's about you guys, it's like, oh, a little bit. That's cool. Liars. The lies. But we all want to be exalted on some level. We all want to be exalted on some level. But the best way to be exalted is if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. First Peter 5:5-6-7, he says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so he can exalt you at the right time. And again, we got to empty ourselves out so we can be filled up with the Spirit of God so that we can serve, so that we can be exalted. So if you want to be exalted, let Christ do the exalting. Not self. Not self, but Christ. Then he goes on and says, here's your purpose. Or he goes on and look at verse 13. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work his good pleasure. Okay? His good pleasure, not mine, not your, his good pleasure. His good pleasure. I keep saying that because it's his good pleasure, not yours or my good pleasure. I don't know what that beep was. I hope nothing blows up. I heard something. I'm nervous right now. Mission impossible. So chapter verse 30 says, for it is God who is at work in us, or work in you, both to will to the work of his good pleasure. So the reason why we have to be fulfilled in allowing the word to fulfill us is so that we can understand the mind, have insight to God's mind, so we know what we are to do. Also, so that it can educate us, so that we can know where we have come from, where we're going, and where we are in relation to God. But the last one here is, it shows us and gives us an eternal purpose. It shows and gives us an eternal purpose. Man. I know growing up, there's been a lot of us in this room that didn't know our purpose. Some of us still don't know our purpose. And we get confused. We're insecure because we don't understand where we should be in life. We try to be this place in life, but that's really not where we should be. And you're not for sure, so you wrestle with it, you fight with it. Because you don't know where you're supposed to be. I don't know where I'm supposed to be at times. And so we wrestle with these different things in life. We bring heartache in our lives. We bring troubles to our lives. Our bright days become gloomy and dark and rainy because we allow ourselves to not let the word fulfill. We allow ourselves to not be fulfilled by the word. And when we allow ourselves to not be fulfilled by the word, we bring upon ourselves a lot of heartache, a lot of stress, a lot of anger, a lot of disappointment, a lot of dysfunction. But when we allow the word to fulfill us, he shows us our eternal purpose. And go to John chapter 17. This is like profound, and not because I'm saying it. This is profound because God said it. Like, God knows what he's doing, you know what I mean? Like, anybody that can speak the universe into existence is pretty good. I mean, I've seen a lot of good things, but that's that kind of tops a lot of things, you know? Jesus can walk on water. Like, that's pretty impressive. Like, that's just impressive. He can look at the weather and say, wave, stop. Storm, stop. You know what I mean? Has anybody ever seen anybody do that before? No? Like, I was going to say, I'll wait if you have. I'll wait. But go to John chapter 17. This is so profound what Jesus is saying. I'm gonna give you the verse in just a second, but I want to build it up. So John 17. I don't need to build it up. So we have like Oprah. She's giving out cars. We got the lottery. Man, that's a lot of money. We have Satan giving out a false sense of a security, false hope. And we've had people give us different things in life, right? Amen? We've had people give us different things in life, and it's pretty cool, but nothing lasts forever, right? Nothing lasts forever. And it's like, man, like, a car is, that's pretty legit. Somebody gives me a car, I'm not turning it down. You want to give me 30 mil? I'm not going to turn it down. False hope? I'll leave that away. You know, that's not good. So a lot of people give us different things. But chapter 17, verse 1, Jesus spoke these things and lifted up his eyes to heaven. And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Whoa, he said he can give eternal life, verse 2. He says, this is eternal life. Okay, pause right there. This is eternal life. This ain't giving out a car. That's comes and goes. Money comes and goes. False hope, we don't need it. But Jesus is giving out eternal life. Don't look at me. Look at the verse. Look at the verse. This is eternal life. Well, what's eternal life? That they may know you, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. There's eternal. Say what? That's eternal life. Car? Cool. Money? Cool. Eternal life? You don't see drug dealers and people of dysfunction saying, hey, I got some eternal life. You don't see anybody doing that. Let me be more professional. So, there are things in life that there are situations in life where we accept a lot of things. Those trinkets that captivate our minds and our hearts, that become idolatry in our hearts, and then we teach that to our children in the homes. And then we wonder why our life is going downhill because we haven't been fulfilled by the word. And we wonder why our life isn't, I'm not excited and happy about my life, and I'm not progressing, I'm not moving forward in my steps with Christ. And we wonder why? Well, look at the trinkets and the different things that are captivating you. Are we clubbing, going to the club? Are we hitting the casinos up? Are we hanging with people we shouldn't be hanging with? We lying to people, making up stuff? Are we sowing seeds of dysfunction? We've all been there. Some of y'all are looking at me like, no. We've all been there. Amen? We've all sown some seeds of dysfunction. We've all sown some seeds of dysfunction, but what we need to be sowing is seeds of eternal life to people, connecting them with Jesus Christ. So why should we find fulfillment in the Word? It's because God is all we have. He's going to teach us what we need to know. He's going to give us insight to His mind. He's going to educate us and show us where we've come from, where we're going, and where we need to be with Him. And then He's also going to give us an eternal purpose. So you don't have to wander around like a chicken with your head cut off, wondering what you need to be doing, because God has given you what you need to do. He says you need to know God. This is Scripture. You need to know God and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. Eternal life can be yours. That's lovely. Thanks be to God and Him only. God has been good to every one of us. Go to Psalm 27. We'll close up, about to wrap it up. Psalm 27. Verse 1. And I want, as we read through this psalm, I want you to be thinking, I want you to like, get this mental image, and I want you to look at this like it's a movie. Like, I want you to just to, if I can read well enough to convey that message, I want to do so. So why should we allow the Word to fulfill us? One, it gives insight to the mind of God. Two, it educates us and lets us know where we need to be with God. And three, it gives us that eternal purpose. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Who shall I dread? When evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversary and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host of encamped against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arises against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. So we have the war going on. I'm going to let that, I'm going to let it breathe for a second. So we have this war going on. This war is going on. And we see the writer, he's not even worried about the war. He says there's a war going on. Many are encamped around me. And then verse 4 says, one thing I have asked from you, Lord. Only one thing. They're trying to devour me, my flesh. They're trying to take over me. They're trying to enslave me. They're taking over. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple. For in the day of trouble He will conceal me in His tabernacle. In the secret place of His tent He will hide me away. He will lift me up on a rock. And now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in His tent sacrifices and with shouts of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, and be gracious to me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. Oh, man. So there's a war going on around him. He's not even concerned about the war. He's not even concerned about the war or other people. He says, you know what? All that's going on, all I ask is that I can be in the household of the Lord forever. That's all I need. And everything else is going to be taken care of. So in the midst of dysfunction, all we need to do is focus on the Lord and the precepts and the things that he's asked us to do. He says, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not abandon me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. That purpose is to trust. Our purpose is to trust in him. For my faith and my mother, or for my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me. We have mother versus daughter, son versus father. We have, I don't get along with my family. But my dad, my mom, I do. But I don't get along with my family. But at the end of the day, they may be against me. You may be against me. But I don't care. At the end of the day, the Lord has our back. And I do care if you're against me, but you know what I mean. You get what I'm saying. I just want to be right with the Lord. That's all I need. And I'm going to be wrong along this journey with you guys at times. You're going to be wrong in this journey together. But at the end of the day, if we focus on what the Lord has asked us to do, there is nothing we can't overcome. You can overcome my personality. You can overcome some of the annoying things I do. And I can do the same for you. As long as we are focusing on the Word of God, nothing else matters. Everything will fall into place. And that's why we have to find fulfillment in the Word of God. He says, verse 12, he says, do not deliver me over to the desires of my adversaries, for false witness has arisen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired. I would have been broken unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So all we have to do is focus on the end game, and that's God. When I'm in trouble or in the midst of the war, all I have to focus on, God, all I need is to see your face. And believe the goodness that you have. That's it. And once I focus on that, I don't even know what else is going on. The reason why we have got to consider being fulfilled by the Word only is because it gives us insight to God's mind, it educates us, and it gives us an eternal purpose. So I close with this. Consider being fulfilled by the Word, and not consider being fulfilled by the temporal things of this life. It feels amazing and it feels great to buy new cars, maybe buy a home. It feels great to buy different gifts, candles, whatever you do. Well, I don't know what you buy, what you're into, clothes, name brand, anything. As long as we have the Lord, we have everything that we need. And if you have the Word of God that gives us, that breathes life, and it can make the homeless man have a home with him. It can, the one who's an orphan, it can give them a father. I mean, the Word is amazing. The Word restores. The Word is salvation. The Word is Jesus. So I encourage everybody to find that fulfillment in the Word alone. If you haven't found fulfillment in the Word alone and you're stressed, you're angry, you're upset with life, you're mad because things don't go your way, you're mad at your mom, your dad, why can't family situations go right, why can't this go right, maybe it's we haven't found fulfillment in the Lord. Maybe we're not trusting in the Lord. And all we're saying, all God is asking is just consider to let him be your everything. Allow God to be your everything. You should be depressed if you can't have God. He saved us out of so many different situations in life that you shouldn't have made it out of. Those lies that had us in that abyss, we couldn't get out of ourselves. He came through. When you were helpless, he created a way. When you see no hope, when you were hopeless, he gave hope. And when you saw no salvation, guess what happened at the right time?
salvation showed up. And we didn't have to do anything. All we have to do is accept it and be obedient to the word. And if we haven't been obedient to the word and we need some help today, now is the time as the song of encouragement is sung.